Welcome to 15 Minutes of Free Grace. The Bible teaches that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This podcast ministry is devoted to teaching and defending a biblical worldview anchored in the grace of God and to encouraging believers to embrace and experience the grace life every day. My name is Hudson Smellie, and in this episode, I want to address what I believe is one of the most important practical implications of free grace. Simply put, we are free to forgive those who have wronged us. This may sound simple, it may sound uncontroversial, but I would contend that many and perhaps most Christians do not have a solid practical understanding of forgiveness, and so they're not good at it. I want to use this episode to speak in practical terms about what forgiveness is and what it is not. And here's the key for us, and it's why we need to be talking about this issue in the context of free grace. Our understanding of forgiveness and how we can exercise it in our lives must be grounded on a correct understanding of God's grace toward us. If we do not understand God's grace, we're going to always struggle with forgiveness. Now, at the beginning, I want to speak to the matter of unspeakable sins. I want to say right up front that from a human perspective, there are wrongs that are easy to forgive. But there's also wrongs that are very difficult to forgive because of the magnitude of the wrong and the harm it caused the victim. I know there are many people out there who have suffered unspeakable wrongs, such as a period of prolonged verbal, physical, or sexual abuse, deep betrayal within a marriage or another close relationship. Perhaps you've had someone stolen from your life through murder, or you've been deeply wronged by a person or persons you trusted in a local church. This episode is especially for you. Jesus said that the person He sets free is free indeed. Forgiveness is not about the wrongdoer. It's about you. And forgiveness is the only way you will ever experience being free indeed from what they did to you. The unspeakable wrong against you can be such a great weight in your life that you can carry it for years and years, perhaps even keeping it secret from those close to you while you continue to suffer alone. Forgiveness is about loosing your own shackles so that you can experience emancipation from those past wrongs done to you. And I would say to every Christian, an unwillingness to forgive is primarily hurting you, and it impacts your walk with the Lord. So we need to talk about the matter of what is forgiveness. If our definition breaks down, or it makes forgiving impossible to do, then it's faulty, and we need to go back to the drawing board. God does not command us to do the impossible, but unquestionably the Scriptures tell us we need to forgive. The only way to understand and define forgiveness is to understand the role of grace in God's forgiveness of our own sins. And only the free grace position gets this issue right. The Bible affirms repeatedly that we are forgiven by grace without any fine print, caveats, or conditions. We don't earn God's forgiveness, nor do we pay Him for His forgiveness after the fact. We simply receive it by faith when we place our faith in Christ. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he speaks of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's always by grace. Ephesians 4:32, the apostle says we should forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. This is where free grace is so important. We know our salvation is by grace alone, with no fine print, caveats, or conditions. God never takes it back. God doesn't say we're forgiven, but then puts us on an installment plan. God doesn't say we're forgiven and then dredge up the past on us as soon as we mess up. It's exactly what Psalm 103 said about removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. God has shown us what it means to forgive. Now, I spoke earlier of these unspeakable wrongs. If forgiveness were about our merit, God would never save anyone. When we talk about forgiving others, including those who have done these terrible things to us, it has to be by free grace, or it simply will never happen. Because here's the thing. They really don't deserve forgiveness, but neither did we, and that's the point. So when we come to a definition of forgiveness, I'm going to state it this way, based on the forgiveness we have in Christ. Forgiveness is a freely given and continuing commitment not to retaliate against another person for their past wrong. It leaves the matter of justice in God's capable hands. Now, this word retaliate is important. This idea of a continuing commitment freely given not to retaliate against somebody else. We can retaliate in all kinds of ways. This isn't just going and cutting their tires or doing something like that. We have an inherent desire to be vindicated. We have a desire that the other person were shown to be in the wrong. They get what they deserve. And so we can retaliate by bringing up the past, which God doesn't do to us. We could harbor bitter, resentful thoughts, tell somebody we forgive them, but we still view them with contempt. We could have passive-aggressive behaviors or even retreat behaviors where we just don't talk to somebody that may be our way of retaliating. Forgiveness replaces retribution with unconditional love. Forgiveness is not hating and feeding our anger, which is where many people get stuck in a rut. Every time they rethink about what happened, they get angry all over again. There's this wonderful and humorous scene in the Marvel movie Thor Ragnarok where the Hulk is talking openly about how he's just angry all the time and he just can't stop being angry. I think if Christians would turn green when they get angry, we'd see the ugly truth about how challenging it is for us to show other people the grace of God in this way, by forgiving. It's just so hard for us. And we'd rather sometimes just remain angry. Forgiveness is an ongoing action, and for those serious wrongs especially, this is the case, because those wrongs aren't forgotten, and the consequences of those wrongs, the pain it's caused you, may continue for a long time or for your whole life. And so as these bad memories pop into your head, you have to reaffirm in your heart your committed forgiveness, your affirmative decision not to retaliate in any way, even just in your mind, fantasizing about revenge or whatever it may be. Whatever justice should be served, you've given that to God. You've been freed of that burden. Forgiveness is supernatural. This is not something we can do because we're just a super Christian. It is us coming to a solid understanding of God's grace toward us. And then by the enabling grace of God and the ministry of His Spirit in our life, we make a volitional choice to show that same type of grace to another person by forgiving them and to keep reaffirming that forgiveness in our heart. So let's talk about what is not forgiveness. And this is so important. Misunderstandings arise here. What is not forgiveness? What's not forgetting? You just need to forgive and forget. You've probably heard that. God hasn't forgotten our sins. I'll hear people say God's forgotten our sins. He can't forget anything. And we haven't forgotten what people have done to us. Maybe something minor or trivial will go out of our mind, but those really big things, they stick with us. God has closed the case that was brought against us, and He won't reopen it. And that's what we're doing when we forgive. We're closing the case on that matter, and we're not going to reopen it. Forgiveness is not the absence of pain or anger, although in time, those things should become increasingly manageable in your life. As you think back on the hurt, it pops in your mind, some sound, some smell, some comment somebody makes brings back this bad memory, but we again reaffirm the forgiveness. We channel those negative feelings, including anger and pain, back into this commitment to give it over to God. So forgiveness is not trust. This is key because when the wrong is a violation of trust, forgiving the wrong doesn't equal trust. Think of the example of someone who's stolen money from a company. You may forgive them, but you don't necessarily put them in charge of the money anymore. Someone's committed an infidelity within marriage. That's a deep violation of trust, and forgiveness can come before the trust is rebuilt. Forgiveness is always free, but trust has to be earned. And the fact that the breach of trust has continuing consequences for the person who's done something wrong doesn't mean there hasn't been forgiveness. Sometimes people will abuse that and they'll say, well, you don't trust me, but you said you'd forgive me. That's right. I've forgiven you, but you haven't earned my trust back yet. There's nothing wrong with that. Reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation or renewed fellowship, though I will say, I think the Bible anticipates that for most wrongs, we should try to reconcile so far as it is within our power to do so. Sometimes reconciliation simply isn't possible. Sometimes it's not safe or healthy for us. You are obligated to forgive, but you can and should set up healthy boundaries in all relationships. And again, I reference those unspeakable wrongs that people may have done. One of the reasons Christians struggle so much with forgiveness is because they've been led to believe that they must also reconcile with a person that perhaps abused them for years. That's simply not the case. You're not required to make yourself a victim again, nor to facilitate a situation where you or others you care about could be harmed. So you can forgive without reconciliation. This should be the exception rather than the norm, but there's times when that's the right thing to do. Forgiveness is not mercy. We don't just say, I forgive you, to be nice to the other person when we really haven't forgiven. In that sense, we just want to be nice. We have to actually forgive. It's never minimizing or excusing the wrong. We minimize or downplay a wrong sometimes to make the offender look better. This man wouldn't be an abusive husband if his dad hadn't also been abusive. That may be true, but that minimizing is not helping. To do real forgiveness, you have to put the truth on the table, as ugly as it is, without minimizing it or excusing the wrong. He or she wouldn't have done this if this other thing hadn't happened to them first. That is not helpful for forgiveness. And we do these things sometimes to make the offender look better. We deceive ourselves. We deceive others about the magnitude of the harm. Excusing is, you know, saying the wrong is okay because the other person had a good reason to do it. They had a tough upbringing. Forgiveness only happens when the totality of the wrong and all of its consequences are on the table. A great example of forgiveness. You read Genesis 45 in the life of Joseph when he forgives his brothers there in Egypt and sends them back to get their father Jacob. And when Jacob dies, the brothers think this forgiveness is going to be taken back and that now Joseph will retaliate. And you read that in Genesis 50, verses 15 to 20, 21. His brothers thought, well, he's going to get revenge now. But instead, Joseph reaffirms his forgiveness. He saw God's providence and the wrong his brothers did to him, but he didn't minimize or deny the fact that it was wrong. Genesis 15 or 50 verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in am I in the place of God?" He said, "You know, am I the judge?" No. Verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." He's not denying the wrong. He's not making an excuse, but he adds, "But God meant it unto good to bring it to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." So part of the reason he could forgive is he saw God's hand even in their wickedness, but he never downplays what they did. Well, what if somebody has never asked you to forgive? Do you still have to forgive them? Remember, Jesus forgave those who were crucifying him. You'll read that in the book of Luke. As they were parting his garments, he prayed to God, the Father, "Would you forgive them? They don't know what they do." They didn't ask to be forgiven, but he did it. And so we need to do it. We need to keep in mind, you know, some people may never ask forgiveness. Some of the people you need to forgive have been in the grave for decades. So it's not going to happen. They're not going to ask forgiveness. So if you're waiting for people to ask forgiveness, you're going to be waiting a long time. This, remember, is not about them. It's about you and I reflecting the free grace of God toward others. This so much glorifies God. That's what it's about. And it's freeing for us. We carry this heavy burden when we allow the wrongs against us to make us angry all over again, to hurt us all over again. And forgiveness is how we experience letting that burden go, giving justice over to God, however he chooses to handle that. It's how we experience being free indeed. The free grace of God teaches us all about how God forgave us, and it models how we should forgive other people. And so I hope that you will tune in for the next episode where I will build on some of these ideas discussed in this episode, including an important Bible story about the destructive force of not forgiving. I'm also going to address what is a proper apology. Until next time, grace and peace to you in the Lord Jesus Christ.